Hello, welcome to The Sound of Economics and another episode of the Deep Focus podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. My name is Sean Gibson, I'm Bruegel's press officer, and today I'll be talking to Bruegel senior fellow Nicolas Veron, who has co-authored with Joshua Kirschenbaum a Bruegel policy contribution plotting out a new framework for anti-money laundering efforts in Europe. Hello, Nicolas.
Hello, Sean.
So for any new listeners, just to clarify that the Deep Focus podcast series is where we try to distill the key messages from Bruegel's research and discuss the details with the authors themselves. So, Nicolas, could we possibly begin by discussing the nature of the problem that you're trying to solve with this paper? So why do we need a new anti-money laundering framework in Europe?
So failures of the current anti-money laundering framework in Europe have been very much in the news this year. The year started with a Latvian bank, ABLV, being effectively closed by the European Central Bank, the supervisor in the Eurozone, because of action taken by the US Treasury, which declared ABLV to be of primary money laundering concern. And then that was only the start, because other news followed in different ways. In Malta, Cyprus, Estonia, Denmark, the Netherlands, and more. And therefore, there is a feeling that there is a widespread problem of failures of anti-money laundering supervision, which is not limited to one or even two or three countries, but is somewhat pervasive in the European Union, even assuming that not all countries are affected. Now, of course, the fact that all these cases are coming up in the news right now doesn't mean that there is an increase in money laundering or illicit activity. Maybe it's just higher sensitivity, lesser acceptance, better detection. Who knows? But what is pretty clear, whether there is an increase or not, is that the existing framework is full of loopholes. And a lot of the cases that have been identified, frankly, shouldn't have happened in the first place. Even so, it's better to have them detected eventually. So the diagnosis that with my co-author Josh Kirschenbaum we establish is that the current framework is systemically flawed. And the reason for that is a combination of essentially purely national anti-money laundering supervision with an enforceable single market. And this is a somewhat similar problem to what happened with prudential supervision a couple of years ago, which eventually led to the establishment of the European Banking Union. This is a different area, but there is the same combination of enforceable single market and national supervision, which creates what we acknowledge to be perverse supervisory incentives, leading to ineffectiveness of the supervisory framework.
So, yes, your paper proposes a new EU-level authority to lead the fight against money laundering. How much would this change the role of national authorities and institutions within the EU that are already carrying out these operations?
Some national authorities, we're talking about the AML supervisors, so the anti-money laundering supervisors, which are a very diverse group in EU member states. In some cases, it's a prudential supervisor. In some cases, it's a financial intelligence unit, which is a unit specifically directed to fighting illicit finance. In some cases, as in the UK, it's a conduct of business supervisor, which is separate from prudential. So there is a diversity of national competent authorities. In some cases, they would be relieved, frankly, if there was an EU supervisor established, because they don't have the means, the resources, and the authority to effectively carry out their duties. And that's particularly the case in perhaps a number of smaller EU member states. It's difficult to have the full picture because, you know, this is not an area which is completely transparent and where effectiveness is easy to measure. It's not. But certainly in some member states, some authorities would be relieved. And indeed, for example, in Latvia, the finance ministry has been calling for the establishment of a new European level authority. In other member states, there wouldn't be that much change on the operational day-to-day level, because in any case, as is the case with, for example, prudential supervision, the national authorities would keep much of their day-to-day duties. They would just work within a network with a central agency as a hub, which would have access to all the information without needing to request it, and which would ultimately take the decisions, even so they could delegate back the decision to the national level, as happens, for example, in competition policy in Europe. So it's not really a change in the day-to-day activity. It's more a change in the architecture of information sharing and decision-making, because these are the aspects where the major flows have been observed.
Okay, so where do we start with this? How do we get the ball rolling, and where to begin instituting these sorts of measures that you've outlined?
So the solutions that we come with in the paper after an in-depth examination of all the different options is to create a new EU agency, which would be, from a legal standpoint, very similar to the existing European supervisory authorities, such as the European Banking Authority or the European Securities and Market Authority. But this one would be specifically dedicated to the fight against money laundering, and it would supervise all kinds of entities, banks, other financial institutions, non-financial firms, such as law firms or accountants or art galleries, whatever entity is subject to anti-money laundering supervision under existing EU law. And this would require single market legislation, the same way as the European supervisory authorities have been established with single market legislation. So that's not unanimity, that's qualified majority voting. And it's not realistic that this could be passed by the current parliament, because, as you know, we're very close to a renewal of the parliament and commission in the spring next year. But I think it's very realistic that the heads of state and government would take the decision of principle to establish this new agency and then ask the next commission to propose the corresponding legislation. Because there is momentum right now at the political level. There is very high awareness of the problems in the European fight against money laundering. There is awareness that the current system doesn't work very well at a pretty systemic level. And so I think later this year or early next year is the right time for the decision of principle, even so the implementation, of course, would take a bit more time.
So you talked about the broader European fight against money laundering. How far does this plan that you have outlined in the paper go towards solving all the issues with money laundering in the EU? Are there other matters that need to be solved alongside this supervisory overhaul?
Of course, it's not a silver bullet, and money laundering itself is only a part of a broader landscape of risks. And indeed, the more recent cases of money laundering have tended to be very much about money from Russia, which is part of a broader challenge of the relationship between the EU and Russia and how to manage that relationship, both in terms of economics and the financial aspects of it, but also the political and geopolitical aspects are part of it. So of course, it would be completely futile to say some reorganizing of the administrative duties is going to solve everything. The culture for AML supervision, anti-money laundering supervision in the European Union, would be a major improvement on the current system. So it would not solve all the problems, but it would make the system much better. And indeed, if you look at the recent problems in AML enforcement in fight against money laundering, especially in the banking sector, which has been very much at the heart of it, as the banking sector is at the heart of the European financial system, if there had been an integrated framework for supervision, it would have been much better, probably. And so basically what we're saying is, better is good. It's good to improve the framework, even so you cannot solve all the challenges in one go.
Well, thank you very much, Nicola. Thank you for taking us through your research paper. And I think that about brings us to the episode, the end of the episode, pardon me. Thank you everyone for tuning in to this installment of Deep Focus. If you'd like to look through more of Bruegel's work, we have a range of publications, podcast episodes and blog posts available at our website, www.bruegel.org. I hope you've enjoyed listening to The Sound of Economics. Until next time, bye-bye.